MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Leila Ibrahim. She's PwC People and Organization Reward Partner. Leila, appreciate the time. New rules coming in around company pay disclosure. We've had the rules around C-suite disclosures for, I think, a couple of decades now. But now this is going to be focusing on the entire staffing, the highest staffs, lowest and averages, etc. That's a fair reflection of what is coming down the road.
That's right. Morning, Simon. Yes, we are expecting very soon the Companies Amendment Acts to be implemented. Sorry, the Companies Amendment Act to be implemented. And certainly they're going to be bringing in the new required disclosures, what we commonly refer to as the pay ratios. So top versus bottom, top 5% to bottom 5%, lowest paid employee within the organization will now need to be disclosed. Mm-hmm. And as you quite rightly said, we've had the executive directors and prescribed officers being disclosed, certainly for listed companies, for quite a while now. But this is going to usher in a new era, you know, with more disclosures and focus on income inequality, I think.
And it is that, I think, to a large degree, those horror numbers. And truthfully, they are horror and I think should be disclosed around that difference between the lowest and typically the CEO. Does this include contract workers? Because there could be a loophole there, or am I sort of over-imagining things?
So you're touching on a very technical point and one that's sort of taken up a lot of mental space for us, you know, consulting on this in the last couple of weeks. So at the moment, the amendments refer to the definition of employee, and the definition of employee leans on the Labor Relations Act definition. And those of you who are familiar with that definition mm-hmm. will know that that is a very wide-ranging yeah. definition. It's meant to protect as many employees as possible. So at the moment, contractor is one of those, you know, if they're truly an independent contractor and they're not seen to be an employee, then they would be excluded. But there are many other employees that are sort of drawn into that, like your temporary workers, your seasonal workers, your interns, etc., which is going to have quite a far-reaching impact on the pay ratios. And in my view, is going to make it quite difficult to compare these ratios from company to company, because as you allude to, it's going to be quite different in terms of structures and who employs how and through what mechanisms.
Absolutely. And I hadn't even thought of, for example, an intern, which is typically an overly low paid wage. Do we have an expected date? As I understand, it's been signed but not yet implemented. Do we know when the date is?
You're right. So it's been signed but not implemented. No, some of the amendments were implemented in December. We are still waiting for the remainder of them to come through. I don't want to speculate. I'm expecting by the end of the year, but, you know, my expectations have been not met a few times before. So,
okay. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll keep an eye on it. Does this then change the conversations at the Remuneration Committee, which is, I've always understood, was really, again, talking around salaries, bonuses and the like, around the C-suite, the board, the top executives? Those conversations are now surely going to be wider in terms of what is our range? What is our average? What is the top 5% and bottom 5%?
Yes, it's really interesting. And you're right. So typically your remuneration committees are tasked with looking at your top level, so your executives, and then overarching policy in terms of the rest of the organization. So, you know, we've been sort of pushing for a while that remuneration committees need to have more of a handle on what is going on throughout the organization. So the best REMCOs out there are getting reports on, you know, are there any differentiating factors in REM? Are we mm-hmm. assessing whether there could be discrimination, et cetera? We obviously had all the equal pay for work of equal value legislation coming through a few years ago, and there was a shift when that came about. But definitely more and more, I mean, I'm seeing those conversations at board level and REMCO level about, you know, are we paying a living wage? What is the experience of our people? And, you know, PwC just did our global hopes and fears, you know, workforce survey. And I actually want to share with you one or two of mm-hmm. the stats, because what we found is, and this is the Africa cut, okay? So my household struggles to pay all or some bills every month, 20% of participants were on that level. Then in terms of my household is able to pay all bills every month, but has very little or nothing left over for savings, holidays or extras, was 46%. Now, it should be noted it's quite similar to the rest of the world, but when you get to my household is able to pay all bills every month and has enough left over, we're only at 27%, where the rest of the world is at 38%. So it's a significant and stark difference. And you can see the need for the income inequality focus. But I do want to make the point that the pay ratios as they are are a very shallow interpretation of what's going on. And I think we need to ensure that the focus of the conversation is around how do we better the lives of those who are our lowest paid workers and our most vulnerable, and not how do we, you know, overly focus on the executive pay, because the executive pay, a large portion of it is paid for performance. And we need to remember that when the executives are performing and their long-term incentives are paying out, that shows in the share price. And that's where a lot of people are investing their money in their pension and all of that. So it's the kind of bit of what is good for the goose is good for the gander if it's well designed at the top. So we need to make sure that these disclosures have the right narrative so that we're understanding that as well and we're not having the wrong conversation.
I love that point because particularly at the lowest paid part, it is, you talk around living wage, you talk around minimum wage. You and I had a conversation recently and you had the phrase frugal dignity. We want to be able to live frugally, but live with dignity. And that suddenly takes I think of some of the minimum wages in South Africa and says, this just doesn't crack it, frankly. It's a different way of framing it.
Absolutely. And that's the key takeaway here. We need to have a look at what are we paying the lowest paid workers? The minimum wage is one thing. I mean, in the conversation I mentioned, you know, the minimum wage was like 3,000 rand or whatever it is a month. When we're looking at a living wage, so what do you need to have a frugal but dignified life? You know, referencing those stats that I've just talked about, what do you need to pay all your bills every month and just live a dignified life of being able to pay what you need to pay? And that's anywhere from 7,000 to 14,000, you know, depending on what we look at. And we need to understand the nuances in Africa. We have many more people dependent on one salary than we do overseas when we look at those living wages. So I really think all remuneration committees need to understand what a living wage is. And it does differ according to where you live, etc. And that's something that needs to be unpacked and understood. And that really is the focal area for the year and going forward.
Yeah, and hopefully that conversation now finds its way into the boardrooms and they have honest conversations around what is a living wage. And to your point, it might be for a household rather than an individual. We'll leave it there. That's Leila Ibrahimi, PwC People and Organization Reward Partner. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.